Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
As I'm watching the Saquon Barkley move over and over, I'm just mesmerized by it. I love some of the names you all are coming up with. What is this move called? If you haven't seen it, well, you can find the video, a quick video. It was actually on a reception out of the flat from Jalen Hurts, and he jukes, kind of stops on a dime and does a bit of fake, and one defender flies by. Then he spins around another defender who reaches out and grabs nothing but air. And then in the next nanosecond, turns his back, leaps up and over the defender who's coming at him with his head and his arms extended, trying to make a play, and then is able to get the first down. That's, I mean, it was just one of those moments that causes your jaw to drop open. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. Also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Ron thinks it's actually a legit exercise, a backwards hurdle, but he'd call it a birdle or a revertle. No, neither one of those is cool enough. Let's see. Craig wants to know what combination of buttons that is on Madden. Yeah, for sure. That's a move that Madden needs to install on the video version of NFL. Let's see. Another one, I'm going with Matrix Kangaroo. And Bob says, I don't think it has a name. I've never seen a reverse leap like that in my 48 years. Well, that was pretty much the reaction from Philadelphia with the various Eagles on the sidelines, including what we heard from Nick Sirianni, which is he's just never seen anything like that. 855-212-4227. Terry is in Dallas. What do you think?
Amy, long-time listener, first-time caller, so thanks for taking my call. Thrilled to talk to you in person. I'm going to go with the Barkley bound.
I like that.
Bounding over and bailing out and disappearing. Certainly not luck.
That's no. Oh, my gosh. Definitely not luck. Perfect timing, incredible athleticism. I like the fact that you use alliteration. It's a great literary tool.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it, Terry.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good night.
855-212-4227. We'll get to more of your calls. A bunch of people weighing in. Week 9 in the NFL, and soon we'll have up your Monday MVP poll. Oh, yes, Saquon Barkley will be part of it, as will Joe Burrow, I think. I think we should include the Bengals quarterback tying his career high in touchdown passes. And maybe, just maybe, there's a member of the Rams offensive roster. Did you see this game between Rams and Seahawks? Now, I know going in, we ended up with these four teams in the NFC West, all kind of jumbled together. Three of them sitting at 4-4. That includes the San Francisco 49ers, right? So you've got the 49ers at 500, roughly halfway through the season. You also had the Seahawks and the Cardinals at 4-4 to start Sunday, with the Rams being in the basement, only 3-4. Though, to be fair, they'd put together back-to-back wins. And when this game started, it was fairly awful. I'll just be honest. It was a scoreless first quarter. It was a lot of punts. It was just ugly. And they didn't even have bad weather to blame. But Seattle jumps out to a 13-3 lead at the break because of back-to-back touchdown drives around a Stafford interception. So Matthew Stafford throws a pick, and the Seahawks are able to convert that into a TD. Geno goes deep to Tyler Lockett for 30 yards for a score. I mean, he still has the ability to connect with these receivers. I know DK Metcalf is on IR, but Tyler Lockett's been in Seattle a long time. Geno also goes deep to Jackson Smith and Jigba. So that's your 10-point lead at halftime. It also featured another moment for the Rams that was fairly dubious in the fourth quarter. It's a good thing that Puka Nacua was on the field, but it wasn't for long.
Kyren Williams on his right. Shotgun snap. Well protected. Launches down the right numbers. Jump ball. It is intercepted. Picked off at the 25. Reek Woolen with a dazzling interception as he battles Puka Nacua. And then Tyrell Dotson comes over and gets in Nakua's face. They exchange shoves and a flag comes in.
The flag actually came in because Puka retaliated and threw what I would describe as a very soft punch. A very soft punch. But you can't throw a punch at all. That's against the NFL rules. And Nacua gets ejected. He's incredulous over it, but he gets thrown out even before they get to halftime.
When you look at it as a whole, it'll be a great learning opportunity for Puka. He's emotional. That's one of the things we love about him, but he'll be able to learn from that.
Yeah, that was tough. A tough way for the Rams to try to battle back, but actually able to do that early in the third quarter because Matthew Stafford, he settled into a rhythm. He's got a bunch of different options, even without Puka Nacua. And this is in part because they'd gone without Cooper Kupp and Nacua for, what, the first 5-6 weeks of the season? And so he's using guys like Tutu Atwell. He's using guys like DeMarcus Robinson, who hauls in a short TD catch. And also the defense, which I think is pretty impressive. This defense is growing up with the retirement of Aaron Donald. There's some young guys. They need a new identity, and they're finding it with big plays.
11:20 to go in regulation. Trips right, snap back. Geno Smith hits his back foot. He has to leave the pocket, throws to the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted and brought out! 10-20 down the right sideline, cutting inside midfield. It's Cam Kitchens all the way back with a flag down. 10-5, touchdown LA. Shotgun snap, Geno Smith. Play fakes, rolls right, throws. Intercepted again. Taken away at the 5 for the second consecutive possession. The Rams have a red zone interception. Wow. Guess who? Kitchens back to back.
Just backbreaking for Geno Smith and the Seahawks offense. But yeah, LA takes the lead on a 103-yard interception return for a touchdown. What a great name, too. Cameron Kitchens, both spelled with K's. Cameron Kitchens. And that's off Geno Smith early in the fourth quarter. But then his second pick comes at the 7-yard line again in the red zone. Now, the Seattle defense is able to force a pair of three and outs with the Rams offense. So right when they're trying to preserve this lead and run time off the clock, the Rams offense stalls. And Geno gets the ball back. He's able to engineer a touchdown drive, a two-minute drill, if you will, but only needs 1 minute.
Walker back in the backfield on first and 10 at the Rams 14. Geno has time. Throws to the end zone. Touchdown! Jackson Smith and Jigba. He jumped into the stands. He may never get out. The fans are going to take him home.
Steve Rabel with the call on Seahawks radio. Yeah, he actually hauls in a pair of catches, a longer one even before his TD. But that second TD of the game for Smith and Jigba, it forces overtime. Now, the opening possession of OT, Seattle decides to go for it on 4th-and-1 instead of taking the easy points, the field goal. Now, remember, if you score a touchdown on the opening possession, well, the game is done. And so Mike McDonald decides to gamble, believing that if they can get that fourth and one, they're already in the red zone, they can then end the game if they get a fresh set of downs. His explanation for not taking the points in OT.
That was a play call we liked. We liked the look. We got to be able to get a half yard in two shots. You know, great football teams convert third and fourth and short. And right now we're not doing that. So, if, you know, there's math behind it. If you kick the field goal, they're on four downs all the way to field goal range. I felt like we had a great opportunity to go win it with a touchdown right there. So we went for it.
He makes a good point. And yes, good football teams should be able to get a half yard when needed. But that's a risky gamble, and it did not pay off for the Seahawks. So they give the ball back to Matthew Stafford, and boom, boom, boom. You're talking about one of the best quarterbacks still in the NFL. And whether he plays hurt, whether he's playing with half a wide receiver room, he can sling it, even in his mid-30s, right? Old dudes in the NFL. Three completions, 24 yards, 16 yards, and then why not go for broke when you've got the game hanging in the balance?
Cup in short motion. Stafford takes a snap, second and six, bootleg left side. He flips his hips. He fires. He's going deep. DeMarcus brought it in with one hand in the end zone for a walk-off touchdown. 39 yards. DeMarcus calls game.
Now, we might have put the Cameron Kitchens 103-yard interception return for the touchdown in as an option for TD of the week, but that DeMarcus Robinson ball was amazing. First of all, perfect pass by Matthew Stafford. Robinson is able to snag it with one hand as he's up in the air, brace it against his chest, fall to the ground, and never let that ball, as he's rolling, right, rolling forward, never let that ball contact the turf. In fact, we watched it a couple of times. My husband said, I think that was, that hit the ground. I think that was an incompletion. It was not. DeMarcus Robinson, he was able to protect that ball for the walk-off TD, as you hear with Matt, J.B. Long on Rams Radio.
Like, he thought it was a run, so I guess Matthew had a great fake with the running back, and I was able to get on top of him. I beat him by like five yards, and Matthew saw me coming out of his rollout, and he gave me a chance. He put it up.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive what Stafford did in that overtime, and so the Rams have now won three games in a row. They go from 1-4 to 4-4. And a lot can be said for getting your receivers healthy, though Nacua, again, ejected in this game. We'll see whether or not he gets fined or suspended by the NFL, though generally they come down harder on guys who are repeat offenders. Stafford, he was mesmerized by what he saw on the other side of the ball for LA.
It was unbelievable. I thought our defense was fantastic. You know, we always talk about make them snap it one more time, and they were the epitome of that today, right? A couple times they get down there in the low red, and Cam does a hell of a job, you know, getting two turnovers, taking one back.
So Stafford and the Rams are right now firmly in the mix in the NFC West. And think about the NFC, where you've got these wild cards that are up and available for grabs. And we'll see what Tampa Bay does on Monday night. But if the Buccaneers can't right the ship and they lose in Kansas City, they're going to fall below 500, which means the Falcons will be the only team in the NFC South above 500. Right now, you've got just one team in the West above 500. We're going to talk about Arizona right now, also riding a win streak that puts the Cardinals in first place in the West. So that means you're looking at the NFC North with its three teams above 500 that will be competing not just for the division title, but for wild cards. And then looking at the East, Commanders and Eagles, each of them sitting with just two losses. So there are wild cards to be had there. In fact, in the NFC West, the division is completely up for grabs. The entire division is separated by just one game. One game among four teams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So I mentioned the Rams have won three straight. The Cardinals, though, are sitting on top of the NFC West after hosting the Bears in the desert. Did you see the weather? So a lot of people focused on the Lions and the Packers and the weather, the mess and the muck at Lambeau Field. But how about in Arizona, where it was gorgeous initially? I saw photos before this game started online. Blue skies, perfect fall day. Until it wasn't. They had hail. the roof was open, and they end up with hail in this game between the Bears and the Cardinals. So, yeah, having to deal with the elements there as well. And you know what works in the elements? A run game. Arizona with a 14-point second quarter, able to build the lead at halftime. And really, it wasn't about the stats for Kyler Murray. It wasn't about Kyler able to fling it all over. It wasn't about the rookie Marvin Harrison. Nah, this was about the ability to control the ball and run the ball.
First and goal on the two. Three tight ends, a fullback in the game. Connor, the deep back. Murray under center, takes the snap, and it's a jet sweep near side. McBride stiff-arming, getting close to the goal line. No signal yet. Now there is a touchdown. Trey McBride on the handoff, and the Cardinals strike first. Third and goal on the one. Higgins in front of Benson in the backfield. Two tight ends to the right. Murray barking out the call. Takes the snap, hands it off. Benson running left, dives into the end zone for his first touchdown.
First touchdown is exactly what the Cardinals need. Trey Benson caps a six-minute possession for the Cards with that one-yard TD run. Now, just before halftime, we're talking about a handful of seconds. The big play that the Cardinals needed to deliver a near knockout blow right before the break.
Harrison wide left, and Murray runs it far side, and breaking free is DeMercado at the 40. Near side 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! With 4 seconds left in the half, the Bears never expected that. DeMercado on a handoff runs 53 yards for a touchdown.
Dave Pasch with the calls on Cardinals radio. So, yeah, three rushing touchdowns for the Cardinals. And the stats for Kyler Murray, well, they're odd. He only has 154 passing yards, but the team rushes for 213 and is able to control the ball and the clock that way.
Not too many times have I been able to play in a game like that and, like, play the way I feel like I played, not up to my standard, and be able to win the way we did. You know, it was a hell of an effort by the whole team. Defense did their thing. To be able to run the ball on a defense like that was great, great. The O-line did their thing. You know, every running back that got in the game did their thing. So it's good to see.
No matter your role, everyone's the same importance to the team. And I thought guys started their role. You know, Blake thought was really good. You know, Dortch had the return off the top of my head. JB downs it. That was an unbelievable play. Chad Rylands kicking it through. You know, I thought that was excellent. And then when you ran the ball, I think we ran it for over 200. You know, obviously the last one there popped, which was cool. We're just trying to get a field goal out of that. It popped. I thought Amari was really good. James Conner was good. Trey Benson was good. Did what we had to do to win the game. So on to the Jets. We're working tomorrow.
Yeah, a pair of field goals by Chad Ryland to begin the third quarter, and that really puts this game out of reach for the Bears. Just could do nothing against that Cardinals defense. So even though Arizona had a pair of fumbles, the defense recorded a half dozen sacks of Caleb Williams, another dozen QB hits. And late in the game, he gets twisted up by that defensive line after completing a pass. So it was really the final play of the game. He's able to find Keenan Allen. But as he's standing up, he seems like he's getting up even more slowly, and he's walking off the field gingerly. Definitely looked like he was limping.
I landed wrong and just kind of tweaked it. And then the last play, the dude grabbed my ankle and gator rolled and tried to get off of it, because when you stay on it, that's when bad stuff starts to happen and breaks and all of that. So tried to just let my body go so I could fall and roll with him.
So Caleb Williams, they'll certainly monitor him this week. Doesn't sound like it's extremely serious for the number one overall pick, but the Bears are back in the basement of that NFC North. The thing is, you got to keep up with the Joneses, just to use the old cliche. You got to keep up with the Campbells in the NFC North, because otherwise you are falling behind with alacrity. And of course, the Vikings win as well on Sunday night. So Lions are 7-1. The Vikings and Packers now are sitting at 6-2, 6-3. And the Lions, as I say, they've won 6 in a row. I think I might have said 5 in a row earlier, but it's 6 in a row. And you've got the Bears at 4-4. So they better get off the schneid. They could still obviously compete for a wild card. Could you imagine, though, if we end up with three wild cards out of the North Division? Thing is, what Ron Rivera told us about a week and a half ago is, I need to see what happens when these teams start facing each other. And right now, Lions are 2-0 in the North. Packers are 0-2. Bears haven't faced anyone in the North Division, which is kind of crazy. Their schedules are backloaded to have these teams battle each other in the second half of the season. Speaking of divisional battles, the Bills are one of the hottest teams in football. We'll get to their game against the Miami Dolphins. Tua's second since returning from IR, and it did not start out well for Buffalo. 855-212-4227. We can work in more of your calls, too. That's 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page as well. By the way, if you did not see our newest video, we haven't had a video on YouTube in a long time until just last week. Producer Pete and I filmed a short, and it starts with Producer Pete's face right in your grill. He's all up in your grill because he was zooming in on me just for a better shot and for better audio. And that meant when the camera was on him, his head fills the entire screen. But we do a little bit of name dropping in there, like our friend Amy Trask. And also, why Dan Campbell? Why is Dan Campbell in our video? So check that out on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's kind of fun to have our first video. And I know it's relatively short, but it gives you a taste of what's to come. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you had a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Roberto Sanchez, their punter, to attempt the onside kick, trailing by 8 with 28 seconds to go. Sanchez takes 3 steps back to his left. Now 2 steps forward as he lines up with the 35. Onside kick with a very high bounce. And up to bring it in is...
it's JJ.
Justin Jefferson. He's JJ. And the Minnesota Vikings will improve to 6-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Justin Jefferson flashing that big toothy grin after the Vikings end their losing skid with a big victory over the Colts on Sunday Night Football. He has 7 catches for 137 yards. And it seemed like every time that Sam Darnold needed to move the chains or the Vikings needed a big play, Jefferson was the man to do it. Of course. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio. We've shared the Saquon Barkley backward leapfrog over the top of a defender in the Eagles game. We have to get to the rest of that game, but we're asking you, what is this move called? What should we call it? So that's also online, and you can find that on our show Twix as well at Amy After Hours, but I appreciate that so many of you are hanging out, plus the link to our newest YouTube video. It was, I guess, initially in honor of Halloween, but other...
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pertinent information in there as Pete fielded a few questions from Ask Amy Anything. So it's always good to connect with you, especially during football season, because there's so much happening. The Dolphins and the Bills doing battle in Orchard Park. And this is the second game back for Tua Tagovailoa. And we saw him settle into a pretty good rhythm. Certainly the ability to find his receivers, have that connection with his receivers, like Tyreek Hill, like Jaylen Waddle, who, of course, has been dealing with injuries. And also the defense had played pretty smartly as well, though the Dolphins had been unable to buy a win without him. So now he's back on the field for this game against the Bills. And it did not go Buffalo's way in the first half. There was an interception on the 3-yard line that goes right through the hands of Keon Coleman. He can't make the catch. Miami then does a complete 180 and marches 97 yards the other way as a response. And it's Devon Achane, who's really the closer in that drive. A lot of heavy use, too, plus a 14-yard touchdown catch. Now, Buffalo, as if it wasn't bad enough, has a touchdown run by Josh Allen called back on holding. So he looked large and in charge, only to see the flag thrown by the officials. But the defense forces a fumble on Raheem Mostert to begin the second half. And that's really the turning point for the Bills in this game. So trailing in the first half, but getting a huge move and a huge moment from the defense there to start the second half. So kind of like a tale of two halves for the Bills. Buffalo then is able to settle in for a 6.5-minute drive. And Josh Allen, well, he's got plenty of options to choose from.
7:24 left in the third. Big fourth and goal from the 2. Allen under center. Bunch formation on the right. Coleman on the left. Orbit motion from Shakir. Fakes the handoff. Fakes the throw. Comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The former Dolphin across the back of the end zone as the Bills give the Dolphins a taste of their own medicine with some misdirection.
Gotta love it when you can get creative and with a touchdown. Well, with a touchdown play like that, with a moment there in the red zone, Josh Allen is so hard to bring down. He's so hard to get to. He can extend the play. So good to see him kind of living on the edge like he does. Sometimes it feels like he's got his pants on fire. But really, he's just looking to make a play. Chris Brown with the call on Bills radio, and that gives Buffalo the lead at 12-10. But after a Miami field goal, which of course puts the Dolphins back in front, Josh Allen has to go to work and find some more space.
Play clock down to 5. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards.
And the lead changes hands again. So it's pretty incredible. A catch and run by Ray Davis is able to kind of thread his way through the second line of the defense. And that set off what was a wild second half. So they have 4 consecutive touchdown drives between the two, between Miami and Buffalo. And yeah, it was great to see all the different playmakers out there on the field.
Ray Davis, the lone setback. Allen under center. 4 on the play clock. Here's the snap. Fakes the handoff. Rolls to his right. Looking to pass. Now gets hit as he throws. And it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season goes for a touchdown.
Waddle flank to the left. Now Jonnu moves further to the right. Bill's showing blitz, Joe. Throwing. Tua getting some pressure. Now he's going to run with it. Pulls back up, flips it, and it's touchdown.
Got it.
Got him. Waddle. Fresh off an injury.
Jalen Waddle actually did not do his classic waddle to celebrate the touchdown. Instead, it was Odell Beckham Jr. and some others who are waddling, but not Jalen. But welcome back to Jalen. So, yeah, we're talking about that touchdown that ties the game at 27 with about 90 seconds to go, right? So these two teams go back and forth. The second half, it's hard to keep up. The Dolphins are 3-for-4 in the red zone, but Buffalo still has plenty of time. Now, here's the thing. You would think about Josh Allen's 3 touchdown passes in the second half and believe that 98 seconds is well within their wheelhouse to be able to move into the red zone, maybe get a touchdown. Instead, this possession stalls at midfield, and Sean McDermott has a decision to make. He actually trots out his beleaguered kicker, Tyler Bass, who's missed some chip shots, who's missed extra points this season. A lot of people would tell you he was fighting for his job. And into that fray, they line him up for a 61-yard kick.
This is going to be a 61-yarder from the left hash with 10 seconds remaining. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin. Kick by Bass is long enough. And it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass! It's a career best for the Bills kicker. Unbelievable.
It means everything. Very emotional. Haven't really processed it yet, but just put in a lot of work, man, and just was just focused on right here, right now, the present, and being patient with everything, man. You know, you're going to go through ups and downs, but just continue to put your best foot forward. We did that today, so just very emotional, I would say.
I happened to get a glimpse of T-Bass in warm-ups and knew that the 40, I thought he had a pretty good warm-up, especially from deep, and you know, we had a little bit of a win that direction, so I felt good about it, and I trust him, and he came through.
Talk about confidence from Sean McDermott. And Tyler Bass crushed it. It probably would have been good from 65. I don't want to go much deeper than that, but it probably would have been good from a few yards further out. It was an incredible moment for Tyler Bass, a career long with 5 seconds on the clock. And so, yes, Josh Allen sparks the Bills with 3 touchdown passes in the second half. And Buffalo has won 13 of 14 against Miami. It's not like the Dolphins played poorly. It's just in the end, the Bills had a few more plays. And Josh, 235 yards, does have the early interception, but they right the ship.
This game's hard. You know, the other team, they get paid as well. I'd like to be better, obviously, in the first half, and I'd like to be better in that two-minute drive. Didn't feel like, again, like you said, didn't have the fastball, but, again, just gutted it out.
I think we're taking a step in the right direction. You know, as a team, this wasn't the result that we wanted, but we just got to keep pushing, man. It's still a long season, and if we want to go where we want to go, we can't worry about the ifs, ands, or whats. We just got to focus on the next opponent and the upcoming week that we have.
The Dolphins fall to 2-6, so they lost all their games without Tua. Now, he was terrific in this game. He looked really crisp, 25 of 28, 231 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Ultimately, the Bills just had more plays and were able to rally from kind of a shallow hole they were in after the first half. And yeah, they've beaten Miami 13 of the last 14 times. So the stranglehold that the Bills have on the NFC East continues. Now with 4 consecutive wins, they've got a 4-game lead in their division. I keep telling you the AFC might be locked up by week 10. It's still a possibility. The Jets did get the win on Thursday night, so they're now 3-6. But the Dolphins fall to 2-6. The Patriots are 2-7 after losing in overtime to the Titans. We'll get to that game a little bit later. The Bills are running away with this. It's not going to be like last season where they had to run the table in December and beat Miami on the last Sunday of the regular season to be able to clinch the AFC East. Nah, they are in a great spot and have not yet lost at home this season either. All right, 855-212-4227. Let's talk about the offense and the defense for the Cincinnati Bengals, who maybe, just maybe, are checking back into the chat in the AFC. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to linkedin.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Minnesota.
Third and goal, Darnold shotgun, Jones by his side, Jefferson wide left, 3 receivers right. 7-7, 2:54 to go in the third quarter. Sam back to pass, straight drop, throws to the end zone, caught, touchdown! With his 4th touchdown this season.
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. The Vikings improved to 6-2. They beat the Colts 21-13. Sam Darnold threw for 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Elsewhere, in overtime, the Rams over the Seahawks 26-20. Lions topped the Packers 24-14. In overtime, Titans 20, Patriots 17. Cardinals over the Bears 29-9. The Eagles beat the Jaguars 28-23. Saquon Barkley rushed for 159 yards and a touchdown. Commanders over the Giants 27-22, Chargers 27, Browns 10. The Bengals over the Raiders 41-24, Joe Burrow threw 5 touchdown passes. Ravens over the Broncos 41-10. Tyler Bass kicked a 61-yard field goal with 5 seconds to go. The Bills beat the Dolphins 30-27. Also, the Panthers over the Saints 23-22. And the Falcons beat the Cowboys 27-21. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott left the game in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury. He'll have an MRI on Monday. Baseball, the Royals and pitcher Michael Wacha reportedly agree on a three-year $51 million deal that includes a fourth-year club option that could max out the contract to $72 million. NBA Mavericks over the Magic 108-85. Luka Doncic at 32 points. It was the Hawks over the Pelicans 126-111. The Pistons beat the Nets 106-92. NHL wins for the Oilers, Blackhawks, Wild, Canes, Rangers, Jets, and Bruins. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
Second and goal from the 11. Burrow tapping both sides of his helmet. The receivers get the indicator. Burrow catches the shotgun snap, begins scrambling right, now reverses direction, throws into the end zone, and is caught in the back left corner by Mike Gesicki. Burrow ready for the shotgun snap. Three receivers left, one right. Joe has the ball, looking left, throws, caught by Gesicki. Wow. He's at the 20, middle of the field, 10, 5, touchdown!
Wow. Wow.
47 yards, touchdown pass number 5 for Joe Burrow to tie his career high.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Have a day, Joe Burrow. Are the Cincinnati Bengals becoming a threat again? That's a big question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, working our way through Sunday, week number 9. We still have a lot to get to, like another Cowboys loss and the potential loss of Dak Prescott, which I know some people would think would be a positive for the Cowboys. I'm not sure how, but some out there might tell you the Cowboys are better off without Dak Prescott. Also want to get to what happened with the New Orleans Saints. They've now dropped 7 games in a row, and Mike Thomas, former star receiver for the New Orleans Saints, who crossed paths with Derek Carr briefly there in New Orleans, who's now out of New Orleans. He goes on a tirade after Chris Olave gets knocked out with a concussion and taken to the hospital in, I think it was the second quarter of this game. And so there's just a lot happening with New Orleans. I can't imagine that everyone survives. Even if they do get it turned around, they now share the worst record in the NFL after starting out 2-0. But let's talk Bengals for now on a high note, because the Bengals also started out in a hole of their own doing, of their own creating, and on Sunday hosting the Raiders in Cincinnati. And it's a 5-touchdown day for Joe Burrow. You hear two of the calls there with Gesicki on the Bengals radio network, Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham. So Burrow goes 27-39, plus a huge performance for Chase Brown. He's got 27 rushes for 120 yards. Essentially, they're able to do whatever they want against that Raiders D. 4-for-5 in the red zone, extra 10 minutes with the football, so they dominate time of possession. They get points on their first 5 possessions as well. This was a landslide. Really no trouble moving the football at all. And now they've won 3 of 4, which is a big deal for the Bengals, again, considering where they were. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Joe Burrow does not want to rest on their laurels.
Good and bad today, so not any time to sit and dwell on the good we had today. It's a short week. We got to learn from the bad and move on. If we don't score a touchdown on a drive, I'm not going to be very happy for the rest of the year. I think that's our standard. We have to play the game that way. We have to expect that out of ourselves and live up to that.
So they tie a career high with Burrow's 5 touchdowns, or he does, Bengals do, 27-39. But again, what I find interesting is very few passing games over 300 yards. Geno Smith had a big passing game, but they end up with a loss. So just 251 for Burrow. He did have an interception as well. But after they start out in a hole, they're able to now rally and get to the point where they're just about 500. They're 4-5 in the AFC North, haven't yet had their bye. Remember, they lost to the Patriots, then at the Chiefs. The Patriots was the bad one. That was the one that knocked a bazillion people out of their survivor pools, including me, off of Survivor Island. So the Patriots, that was their opener at home. Then on the road at Kansas City, then they get blitzed by the Commanders. Their defense has been a major issue, right? So they finally win against the Panthers, but then turn around and lose a game against the Ravens in which they score 38 points. If you remember, that went down to the wire. Actually, that might have been overtime. I think that was an overtime game against Baltimore. So they end up losing four of their first five. Now they've won three of their last four. Are they getting back into a point where they can say they're relevant in the AFC North? I mean, they still have a lot of real estate left this season. As for the Raiders, it's going from bad to worse and quickly. Gardner Minshew gets benched again. And following this loss, so just a couple hours ago, offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, as well as two other coaches, one of them was the O-line coach, the other one the quarterback's coach, all of these guys are in their first year with Las Vegas. They end up getting bounced. So Antonio Pierce still has a job. But the Raiders share the worst record in the NFL. And so Pierce, whether he had help from on high or not, I don't know. But Pierce ends up following multiple coaches because the team is now riding its first five-game losing streak since 2018. That's including the Josh McDaniels era. Of course, and I'm using my air quotations for era. He replaced Josh McDaniels, who got fired midseason last year. That is through the whole Derek Carr mess where they unceremoniously dismiss him, kind of bench him and say, get out. Well, all of that. First five-game losing skid since 2018. Pierce has already gone deep on his team by questioning their effort and talking about how they're making business decisions, though he walked that back, and he's not happy with what he sees on the field.
That wasn't a good enough effort. Obviously, the score tells you that. It looked like that the entire game, except for probably the first quarter. But again, just going to have to reset over the bye week. Got enough time to sit there and really, really, really dive into what we can do to fix this because it can't continue.
Pierce goes on to say it was not a good day at the office, though he did make yet another move to bench Gardner Minshew. Now, remember, Minshew had the starting job. He got benched for Aiden O'Connell, who was there last season as a rookie. O'Connell gets hurt, was a broken thumb, if I remember correctly. So they have to bring Minshew back. But when they do that, they also go out and sign Desmond Ridder, who does come in the second half and replaces Minshew in this game. So yeah, they're looking for something, anything, to be able to spark the team. So Ridder's there in the third quarter, and Minshew just continues to scuffle.
Not disappointing, man. Thought we had a good plan coming in. We came out hot, executed, and just hit a wall, and didn't finish as good as we need to.
Yeah, this is a mess. And as much as Pierce is in his first year, and he should be allowed to establish a culture. Davante Adams was part of what was not going right for the Raiders, according to Hondo Carpenter, our Las Vegas insider that we talked to a couple weeks ago. They actually needed to clean house. They love Brock Bowers and what they're doing, but they do not have a consistent quarterback. Maybe Aiden O'Connell could develop into one, but he's not healthy, and so he's not playing. And neither Gardner Minshew nor Aiden O'Connell nor Desmond Ridder can play defense. I would be against that. And so they've got issues on both sides of the ball. If you're wondering, by the way, Max Crosby, he replaced Larry Fitzgerald in the new version of Let's Go on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Remember, it was Tom Brady and Larry. Now it's Bill Belichick and Max Crosby, as well as Peter King. And when I was listening to, what was I listening to? I think Sunday Night Football is like getting ready for work. I hear the promo for Max Crosby that he'll be on that Monday version of the show, Let's Go, on Sirius XM. That comes out on Monday. And so he will have to speak to what's happening with this Raiders team. But they fired offensive coaches. You can only coach what's handed to you. And I get it. They could have better plays. They could have a better system that fits the guys they've got. What they really need is a quarterback. That's what they really need. And they believe that this is a transition year. but it's a little more painful than what a lot of them expected. Now, on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, you've got the chance to cast your votes, your early votes. Oh, did you know 75 million people in the United States of America have already voted? 75 million people in a country of, well, I don't know if the latest population total includes all the people coming across the border, but it's about 330 million people at last check, and 75 million people have voted, let's hope legally. So yeah, 75 million, but you can vote for Monday MVP at Amy After Hours, because that's our show here on the Infinity Sports Network.